Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Do you know a terrorist? Not long ago, this would have seemed like a ridiculous question, but not anymore. The United States government is offering a reward for information.
But they fought with expert timing. There were funky Chinamen from funky Chinatown. They were chopping the
that prevents an international terrorist act against U.S. persons or property. Or brings to justice persons who have committed one. Stop and think about it. Information about suspicious activities involving aircraft. About stolen explosives. Or biological materials. About letters or packages. It all could add up to preventing a terrorist act. Rewards for Justice at 1-800-US-REWARD.
Today, but it already has scientists all over the world talking. It is an intriguing question. What if the swine flu virus that has killed 61 people and spread to 30 countries was not something that occurred in nature, but was instead man-made?
But not likely.
In this case, I'm not concerned that this virus represents anything other than a naturally occurring mixture of viruses found in nature.
But if it didn't happen in this case, how concerned should we be generally about the possibility of bugs escaping from labs?
We'll be right back. some dope shit? You want some dope shit? You want some dope shit?
Don't forget what might happen the next time you hear an air raid siren. The next time, don't forget.
WCOM Radio, Furious George here, sitting in the control tower. 10-10, I got a good hand in my hand. Playing, I'm going all in. Thursday nights. In the background, some stuff called Music for Martians, LA-based stuff. Speaking of LA-based stuff, hopefully if I can pull together some of this equipment, we can make the new tracks play. More importantly, this is community-based, micro-powered, volunteer-driven radio. So if you're driving around, doing whatever you do, do it safely. In the meantime, I think I just said that. I'm going to play some new stuff that I haven't played in a while. This is called, it's not relatively new, but it's new to the show. Which may be offensive to some members in our listening audience. 103.5 WCOM Radio. This is Chemical Brothers, Brothers. I'm furious.
Yeah. Musky my culture. Musky my culture. Yeah.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's fun time. Fun time.
So you think you can dance? It's the common thread that runs through all of the problems this country faces, from financial meltdown to healthcare to climate change. Americans will do anything to each other for money. Now, last week, we found out that American personnel in Iraq are being electrocuted in the shower because shoddy electrical work is cheaper. How can one American kill another American to save a little money on wire? Politicians always tell us we are, and that's how you know it's a lie. They say if only we had a government as good as the people. Unfortunately, we do. We've been having a little problem lately with hospitals dumping patients who don't have coverage on the street, on Skid Row. Oh, actually, everybody doesn't act this way. This wouldn't happen in Sweden because they're just not as obsessed with money. I can't imagine ABBA putting out a record called Get Rich or Die Trying. I mean, really, what is the healthcare system in America but insurance companies making money by fucking people out of coverage? Even if it kills them. Which it does, at least 20,000 a year. We'll be right back.
Hello, thank you. Chairman Isley, members of the subcommittee, I'm glad to have the opportunity to testify about protecting market data.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. My son Dylan's nanny is out of town.
And now Congress has taken the single-payer option off the table. Why? Because competition from the government might make corporations sad. Can't have that. Healthcare is the biggest industry we've got. We need sick people, and the food companies are doing their part to help. Oh, yes. They put the time in the lab to find out just how much fat, sugar, and salt to load into a Happy Meal to make it more like crack. Even our baby foods are now up to one-third sugar. Only Americans could develop comfort food for somebody who's already eating off a tip. What kind of people hooks babies on sugar? It's not a mystery why even one in five four-year-olds is obese. Four-year-olds. The elephant in the room is your kid. Can't Johnny read? He can't see his dick. If Al-Qaeda slipped something into our food that did that to us, well, we would torture some Arabs and keep on eating. Because we're not a good people. We mustn't be if prison population is any indication. We put more of our fellow citizens in prison than anywhere else in the world. Five times the rate of tolerant, benevolent China. Because jailing people, like people's health, also turned out to be, really, when you think about it, a for-profit industry. I don't know how we didn't see it all those years. When is enough ever enough in this country? Credit card companies that charge 35% interest? You ever wonder why you don't hear about loan sharks anymore? It's because what they did, giving credit to unqualified people and charging them ridiculous rates, we made that legal. Like we made destroying the environment legal. We do it all to each other, the killing and the keeping people sick and poor and in jail and destroying their habitat. Because a generation ago, Ronald Reagan and Gordon Gekko told us greed was good. Humans have always been greedy, but they never convinced themselves it was good. But hey, I could talk all night about the over-the-top materialism of the American people, but I've got to catch a plane to Vegas. Thank you very much, everybody. I want to thank my guests.
by mechanical
April, we saw an elderly professor who was trying to commemorate the death of one of the leaders who had tried to protect students, was severely beaten. A 75-year-old man, and that the government will go
beyond
to the length.
first time in my life to speak freely.
The student movement began as a movement for democracy. It was about political freedom. People understood that this was the moment, that suddenly the rules of the game were changing and that they could finally have their say.
It was a golden opportunity for both sides, I mean, for society and for the state to cooperate to push more political reform.
What happened at Tiananmen was that all of the complaints that people had been prevented from expressing over decades of communist rule burst forward. And what began as a movement for democracy became really a movement for free expression that came close to toppling the Communist Party from power. Things grew more and more ominous in early June, and it was clear that the attack was being prepared. And the students felt it. There was an unease on the square and a sense of danger. And indeed, it was on the night of June 3rd, the early morning hours of June 4th, that the Tiananmen Square protests were finally brought to a close with the ugliest episode of bloody violence that the Communist Party had perpetrated in all its time in power. This was a peaceful political movement that was put down with violence. That was something that the whole world saw through the cameras that were trained on the tanks. At the time, an absolutely unashamed, unembarrassed denial on the part of anyone in authority that anything had ever happened at all.
After Tiananmen massacre, the Chinese government just cracked down any potential protest, any potential of opposition movement, and they also blocked any access to information about the truth. So the whole social atmosphere changed dramatically, and the young generation know almost nothing about what happened in 1989 and what happened in the years before 1989.
We'll be right back.
Japanese government has been incredibly successful at expunging any record of those events and making it politically untenable for people outside the country to even raise Tam on them. And that kind of willingness to forget of the outside world makes it easier for the Chinese government to systematically abuse people's rights whenever it is politically convenient to do so and know that there aren't consequences.
Tiananmen taught the Chinese government that freedom of speech is the core issue that they must control.
Domestic press censorship in China doesn't just have consequences for people inside China. Because the domestic Chinese press couldn't write about SARS or melamine scandals or lead-painted toys, we wind up with global public health problems, product safety problems. This matters for everyone everywhere now. Human Rights Watch has acknowledged some of the progress inside China, including writing the state's obligation to protect and promote human rights into the Constitution. We've seen some progress with respect to the treatment of the foreign press, with some labor issues. But the reality is that this remains a country in which you are not permitted to publicly criticize the government without fear of real reprisals. Everybody wants China to be a better economic partner, a better security partner, a better diplomatic partner. That's not going to happen until we see the right to freedom of expression really respected, until we see due process.
Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Q-Tip.
Where were you going? Who were you going with?
Me and Ali.
My wallet is El Segundo. Left
left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it, I got to get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it, I got to get it. My mother went away for a month long trip. Her and some friends on an ocean liner ship. She made a big mistake by leaving me home. I had to roam, so I picked up the phone. Got Ollie up to see what was going down. Told him I'd pick him up so we could drive around. Took the Dodge Dart, a 74. My mother left the yard, but I needed one more. Shahid had me covered with 100 greenbacks. So we left Brooklyn and we made big tracks. Drove down the belt, got on the conduit. Came to a toll and paid and went through it. Had no destination, we was on a quest. Ali laid in the back so he can get rest. Drove down the road for 2 days and a half. The sun had just risen on a dusty path. Just then a figure had caught my eye. A mirror for Sombrero who was 4 feet high. I pulled over to ask where he was at. His index finger, he tipped off his hat. El Segundo, he said, my name is Pedro. If you need directions, I'll tell you pronto. Need a civilization, some sort of reservation. He said a mile south, there's a fast food station. Thanks to y'all, as I started the motor, Ali said,
damn, Tim, what did you drive so far for? Well, describe to me what the wallet looks like.
Anyway, a gas station we passed. We got gas and went on to get grub. It was a nice little pump in the middle of nowhere. Anywhere would have been better. I ordered enchiladas and I ate them. Ali had the fruit punch. When we finished, we thought for ways to get back. I had a hunch. Ali said, pay for lunch. So I did it. Pulled out the wallet and I saw this wicked, beautiful lady. She was a waitress there. Put the wallet down and stared and stared to put me back into reality. Here's Shahid.
Yo, Tip, man, you got what you need?
I checked for keys and started to step. Well, what do you know? My wallet, I forget. Yo, it was a brown wallet. Had props numbers. Had my Jimmy hats. I gotta get it, man. Lord have mercy. The heat got hotter. Ali starts to curse me. I feel bad, but he makes me feel badder. Chit, chit, chatter. Car starts to scatter. Breaking on out. We was northeast bound. Jetting on down at the speed of sound. 3 days coming and three more going. We get back and there was no slack. 490 max. Madison, we're here, Shy. He said, all right, Chip, see you tomorrow. Thinking about the past week, the last week. Hands go in my pocket, I can't speak. Hop in the car and torpedo to the shack. The Shaheen, we gotta go back. When he said why, I said we gotta go. Cause I left my wallet in El Segundo. Yeah, I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it, I got to get it. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go.
WCOM Radio, I'm Furious George. We are going to be kind of chilling this thing down here a little bit at the WCOM Radio 103.5 Scarborough Chapel Hill Volunteer Radio. So we've been playing stuff from numerous different underground hip-hop albums, including some old-school stuff. Like there, we just heard some Left My Wallet in El Segundo, which was one of my first just kind of mind-blowing hip-hop experiences when I was a kid. Just the combination of the new MTV and kind of Tribe Called Quest whacked out hip hop experience was enough to just change Furious forever. And I also just also happen to have this reoccurring dream about losing my wallet as I'm on my way to the airport where I'm stuck in some stairway. So if you have any ideas on how to free Furious from that reoccurring dream, I think I'm doing it right now as I vent it over the airwaves. And also, more importantly than Furious' own solipsistic bullheck diggy, we've got other more important stuff happening today. Like 20 years ago, which I tried to kind of heal some wounds relating to the Tiananmen Square. We played some clips from that, and I hope you weren't too depressed. It is a sad, sad thing. The experience of knowing that your government can just wipe you out, and all you are is just a plankton floating around in this giant sea, and nobody will ever know. But we know a little bit more now, don't we? Yeah. I almost cursed at China, which we have an important obligation to challenge, like we do challenge every other kind of aspect of irresponsible, egregious, fascistic, tyrannical bull honky. This is what we do at the Furious George Show. So, okay. So, normally also on the Furious Show, we kind of try and spin it off into some more positive, fun beats and things of different sounds. So, if you're tired of Bill Maher's depressing themes and stuff relating to what happened 20 years ago in Tiananmen Square, sit back. We got some more fun stuff, I promise. I'm Furious.
So once again, it's time for our three-time Pulitzer-winning series, Dick Uncut. News, Greta Van Susteren caught up with Cheney. Here he is in his sunroom. It was a remarkable interview, not for its probing, in-depth quality, but because nobody flinched when this happened. I can't imagine that nobody even... No, oh, my God, he's gonna die! This appearance was remarkable for three reasons. One, for changing up the press and not on anonymous background. And here are the other two.
I think people ought to be free to enter into any kind of union they wish.
There was no meaningful collaborative relationship between Saddam Hussein's regime and Al-Qaeda.
I do not believe, and I've never seen any evidence, to confirm that he was involved in 9/11.
Who is that gay marriage loving, Iraq Al Qaeda connection debunking, left wing press schmoozing?
Oh my God. I think in his last operation, Cheney must have gotten Rip Taylor's heart. Cheney has turned over a new rock.
On Sunday in the Washington Post, Richard Clark had a column, and he was, of course, there at that time as well, in which he characterized the Bush administration as basically being in a state of shock. And I'm wondering what your characterization of those post 9/11 days were like.
You know, Dick Clark. Dick Clark, the head of the counterterrorism program in the run-up to 9/11.
Did he just blame 9/11 on Dick Clark?